This the Black Powder Podcast. Kick up your feet, lean on your armrest, right, and get your mind blessed on this conquest. Hold a grip like a 12th gauge. Let this moment kick. Black people moving and having some gun ownership. I carry weight, not to keep the camera safe. It's thinking about you, my kids and my parents' faces. The big topics they don't wanna involve us. Think we're novice, but now we're moving hard with revolvers. This the Black Powder Podcast. Let's get it started. Yeah.
Primer's hit, the powder's lit. It's time to get on target. Welcome to another episode of the Black Powder Podcast. As always, I'm your host, Yasuke Fett. And just a general reminder of your marching orders and why we have created the Black Powder Podcast. The main mission is to change the social view of black society and firearms. How did we do that? Glad you asked. We talk, walk, read, write, and think about it to find a better solution for a brighter future for the proper protection of black people. Join us through education, practice, and safety as we take down the stigma of black people and guns, one discussion at a time. Just a general reminder, you cannot do a mag dump without a couple of rounds. So if you like what you're hearing and you happen to like this show, send out an email to blackpowderpodcast@gmail.com and let me know what your favorite episode is. Whether or not you agree, disagree, or have questions, please make sure to send them to blackpowderpodcast@gmail.com. And always, feel free to like, share, and subscribe. The only way to continue to grow is to continue to share this knowledge with other people. And the only way to even get the message out is to let everyone know. So once again, if you like what you heard and would like to continue to hear, please like, share, and subscribe. And as always, you can find us on multiple platforms, especially main ones. As of recently, we are now on Spotify, Apple iTunes, Google Podcast, Amazon Music, and Audible. If you would, sir, please introduce yourself.
Hey, folks, my name is Jamarcus Anderson. I am the owner and, owner and operator of Integrity Tactical Solutions, LLC, and the president of the Black Brass Gun Club. How you doing?
Nice, nice. Glad to have you here. Glad to be here. So tell us how you actually started the Black Brass Gun Club.
The Black Brass Gun Club was born out of kind of out of necessity. We had, I was a member of another club years ago when I first got into firearms, and without, you know, throwing anybody under the bus or being petty, we had a bunch of us had kind of a difference in opinion of how things should be going. So consequently, I ended up leaving the group along with a bunch of other people, and we were just kind of floating with nowhere to go. So I kind of gathered everybody up and suggested that we start our own thing, and we ended up joining up with another large national type group that didn't, that worked out great. You know, we got a good start and things were going well, but again, things weren't moving like we thought we should, thought they should move. So we decided to step back from that group. We figured, well, heck, we got plenty of know-how. We got 13 instructors. We've got all this talent. Why not just do it ourselves? And we were just kind of spitballing names, and we came up with Black Brass, and things went from there. So nice. we've been in existence for, we just made our first year as Black Brass this past December.
Nice. Well, I hope it's sees many years then.
Oh yeah, that's the plan. We're doing, we got some big plans coming up. Hopefully they'll all come to fruition.
I don't think you're gonna have to hope too hard, man. You just gotta get the right people, which it sounds like you do, and then just make sure you get out to the right population, I guess you could say, or the right consumers, if you will, and you know, boom, there it is.
Yeah, and you're right about that. I've got a really good core of people. They're all, you know, enthusiastic, and they're all solid. They're all squared away. So yeah, you're right about that. I got no issues. We're gonna be fine.
So is this like a national chapter, or is it more so a local chapter?
This is going to be local for now. I'm keeping things small because when things grow too fast, that's when you get some wild card elements, and then things kind of go off the rails. So right now we're just local to the Tampa Bay area, and we'll stay that way for the foreseeable future until the group decides, well, we can be bigger, or we decide as a whole that we could take it national. But for right now, we're just local.
Yeah, I definitely understand what you're talking about. I've heard stories about, let's just say it was a national gun club, and there were actual split up local chapters or state chapters, if you will. The main chapter, they were doing, they were doing right, they were doing good stuff. But then whenever you went to some of the outside chapters, if you will, it got kind of questionable because you have people doing stuff. You have people charging monthly dues, which, I've been in a gun club before where the only time they really charge dues is whenever you go to the range. So, like, say, for example, there needs to be a range fee, waivers and everything else. You can't get mad because it's official. And I understand that there still needs to be purchase of, like, let's say, materials for the range, targets, staple guns, tape, whatever, because you're out there shooting at paper and steel. So I get that. And if you're a chapter, money's not going to flow into it from out of nowhere. You got to have some source of income. So I get that. But when you got people that are actually corrupting the whole purpose of why the chapter is a national and why they're in charge of like a local chapter, then yeah, it gets real questionable. And it really starts to muddy the whole purpose of what the national chapter is trying to do. So I get why you want to take your time with that, and I really can't blame you. It's just sometimes it's just hard trying to, like, a better example. You ever seen the movie The Founder?
Don't think I have.
So it's a pretty good movie. It was on Netflix. I think it may have gone now, but I always bring it up because it reminds me of just how people are sometimes. And so, like, we'll say, and it was based on the founding of McDonald's and how it got started and how it spread and so on and so forth. So when the McDonald's was found by, I think his name was Roy Kroc, he talked to the McDonald's brothers, and he said that he could spread the locations from different areas. The brothers already warned him that they tried franchising, but the biggest problem they ran into was the fact that, let's say, for example, they were based in Georgia, right? And then somebody franchised out in Tennessee. Well, Georgia's going to be cooking the OG original McDonald's menu in its main location. You might have one a few blocks up the street, but as soon as you start getting close to Tennessee, now it starts to change. You're not just getting Big Macs and fries and shakes. Now you're getting corn, you're getting chicken, you're getting all sorts of other stuff which wasn't agreed upon in the franchise details. So gun clubs can kind of be the same way. You look up one day and you think that you got people training the right way, or being educated the right way, then all of a sudden you realize that the message that's being spread by another chapter isn't the one that you agree with, but yet they took it upon themselves because they feel like it's their chapter and they can do that. So, you just
Yeah, there's
gotta.
a I've seen that a lot, and there is a little bit of merit to that, but you have to have a you gotta have a foundation that says, okay, yeah, yes, you have autonomy. Yes, you can do what you like in a lot of situations. However, this is your foundation. This is what you have to make sure that you're doing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I definitely agree with that, because the last thing you want is like somebody that's actually like a bunch of those videos on YouTube, right? You got a lot of people perpetrating the stereotypes that most other cultures and even some of our own people in our own black society view whenever it comes to black people and firearms. There's a lot of a stigma, a lot of stereotypes. On that note, how do you cope with the stigma and stereotypes that are often associated with black people and guns?
Oddly enough, because of the kind of person that I am, coping really isn't kind of the right word for me because I generally don't care. I'm going to do what I'm going to do. And you can come along with me or not. But one of the big reasons I got into this in the first place was that stigma and stereotype. I became an instructor because I didn't see any instructors that looked like me. And every time guns came up in conversation around us's, it was always, well, why you need a gun and why you so violent and this and that. And it always had a negative connotation. So I'm figuring, well, y'all, not y'all, but people know me. I'm not a big flashy guy, but I don't hide either. You know what I mean? So it's like when you see me, I'm squared away. When you see me, I'm not being ghetto. When you see me, I'm all business. So how can you say, all this negative stuff about black folk and guns? I'm a black folk and I got a gun. So right then and there, I'm disproving every negative stereotype that you're putting out there. And I do you one better. I got over 20 friends that are just like me that disprove all those stereotypes. You don't believe me? Come hang out and see.
One day, I just got to get
Happen
down
real
there.
fast.
I believe it though. And really, I think that's the other aspect that will help strengthen that image, that positive image of black people and firearms in general, because I always say this, we don't really own our own media image. And anytime you see a black person that has firearms, it's usually, they're playing the thug, the gangster, well, whatever. It's just that the stereotypical character.
You know what? Something funny and tragic at the same time. When I first started out, I first started on Integrity Tactical. I would go on Google and look for until I got my own pictures of myself on the range and my friends on the range. I went on Google one day and I put in a phrase, teaching my son to shoot. Okay. I went through, I think I scrolled down like three or four times till I found a black man and his son, and they were shooting a basketball.
Wow. You know, I think it boils back down to the whole, because another thing with black society and firearms is like it's still viewed as a negative. And I want to say that is probably due to like when the Black Panthers marched on Washington, the White House, and then we ended up getting the oh so wonderful ATF. And I think the NRA at the same time. So now it's like, okay, we gotta get these people under control. How do we do that? Okay, we got an alphabet letter organization, and now we also need to find a way to quote unquote control it from within their own society. So you usually have like a lot of churches saying, firearms are bad. You mess around, you carry that energy with you, it's gonna come back on you. What is it? Live by the sword, die by the sword type mentality. And if you look at where it's gotten us now, fast forward to 2020, there's a lot of people that are like, I don't know what's going on. I don't feel too secure about it. So I think that I need to make sure that I can at least have a firearm to protect my friends, my family, my loved ones, so on and so forth. Especially with like the number of single women out there, because I always state this fact, a large majority of first time purchases back in 2020 were from black women. So it just, and I got my own reservations on that, because in all honesty, I think that if you're a single black woman and you have to, if you plan on being single the rest of your life, okay, cool. But if you're trying to, I don't know, find a relationship or find somebody to be with, it doesn't just have to be you protecting yourself. It really should be both people trying to protect both people. But, nonetheless, that's another episode, probably for the other show. But, you had a lot of people.
I want to be in on that one, but that's a whole conversation right there.
We'll have you back on Warbound Radio. Shoot, it's always over, man. But It's like you had a lot of people that were breaking that stigma to the point where, especially if you look at how the church has changed over the years, the church can't control it. They can still speak the old gospel and everything and try and shame you into to certain beliefs, just like you got some of the older political classes from like the civil rights generation. They can try and shame you into certain political beliefs, just like you can have other races of people try and shame you by quote Martin Luther King. But at the end of the day, they're all going to find some angle to make you feel guilty for yourself. But whenever you actually need to protect yourself, you're not going to have that ability. And if anything, when the police show up, you're just going to be another report until they figure out who's going around doing the violent actions. Kind of like that poor mother of four that was in Texas that shot the dude that was coming through there. I think it was their window. The dude wasn't even invited. And number one, and number two, I mean, if you are invited, who the hell is coming through a window unless you're in high school or something? Like, hey girl, you ready? I the window, you know which one. I'm coming up. You know what I mean? That wasn't even the case.
But you know what? Some you that you just touched on that bothers me. One, they were saying about what you said about them trying to shame you up with Martin Luther King. Dude, Martin had a daggone arsenal in his house.
Yes, he did.
Dude, he was strapped up.
He had to be. Because he knew
And
people were coming for him. Look, the same Alphabet Coalition, FBI, CIA, so on and so forth, they were coming for him. Why do you think his legacy is slandered now with rumors and allegations of him cheating?
exactly. But I mean, I got a stack of books, and I got a list right here somewhere, but in a minute. But there's a, I mean, books. There's books out there. One book is called "This Nonviolent Stuff Will Get You Killed."
Yeah, I gotta read that one. I think I got it, but I gotta read it. Yeah.
"We Will Shoot Back" is another good one.
You gotta read
I
that one
got a bunch
too.
more laying around that
Probably
I'm
you
gonna read.
probably got the Negro and the gun too, right?
Yeah, I got that one too. And so when you read those books and you see, basically, right after slavery. Up to, I want to say, right around the 60s, we went from a Winchester over every mantle to you don't need no gun. They gonna, the police will come help you. How did we get there? Because ain't like they got any nicer to us.
I mean, you're right about that. I mean, even like you ever watched that Netflix series Luke Cage? Yeah, all the gang violence and all the quote unquote black on black crime, which, I'm gonna
Yeah,
touch
we
on this
don't
and I'm gonna
want
leave it alone.
that.
Because I mean, you've got society out there, they're trying to justify a lot of things to help push a negative narrative, but at the end of the day, black on black crime is not the highest rate of crime out there. Yeah, you just see more of it on TV because the media is controlled by certain sources out there. That's why if you listen to like some of the black grassroots media on YouTube and outside of YouTube, you're going to hear a whole different narrative, especially from somebody who's more well versed in history and statistics more than I am, because I could probably quote you surface level stuff, but I'm still doing certain studies myself. That's why I like going to blackdemographics.com. That statistic I was talking about as far as black on black crime, that came from the actual FBI database. Now you'll have people try and fight you on that and say, okay, good. No, now talk about the gang related crimes. It doesn't matter because it's on the FBI database. What makes you think that they're going to say, okay, 2% of this was actually civilian crime, and then the other X amount was gang on gang violence? They ain't got time for that. They're going to lump it all into one thing. They're going to break it down based on murders, grand theft auto, larceny, fraud. Just they're going to break down the crimes based on what category they fall in. That's all they're gonna do. It's statistics, it's numbers.
And you're right about that, and you can't, but you also can't ignore the fact that a lot, one, I don't like the term black on black crime
Neither do I.
because people go on crime where they live. So it's like if I'm a bad person or I'm in a bad way, and the only way I got to survive is to rob somebody else, and I live in a black neighborhood, who am I rob?
It kind of goes back to what I was saying earlier about Japan. You got a good 90% of a certain person that looks a certain way living in a certain densely populated area. What good does it make to even say, well, you got Japanese on Japanese crime? At the end of the day, crime is crime. It doesn't matter the color.
Yeah.
It, we could easily sit down and debate the color of the crime, but whenever the color of the crime starts to move and link up with other things, it doesn't. I don't think it really matters if a damn purple person pops up in front of the door and is trying to rob you. At the end of the day, you're getting robbed,
Yeah.
and it's you know where most of the crime is being committed at. So whether it's the suburbs, a trailer park, the hood, whatever, the crime is the crime.
Yeah.
It's just again that because I always say this: 3.5 millimeter is the most deadliest caliber out there. You ain't gonna see it shot by a gun. It's gonna be
Definitely.
it's the media. It's what you
Right.
see on online. It's what you see on TVs. Even the black media that we have is not for black people
It is
because it's
not.
hidden narratives and that. But it's just it's another tactic to get people to not realize that. That there's division and divisiveness that is going on. Now, divisiveness, certain circumstances, I can understand. I can definitely understand it. Especially like let's say we were to go with the black on black crime narrative. Okay, cool. So if I'm living in a neighborhood full of, I don't know, let's say it's 90% Nigerian.
Right.
And let's say the police decide to show up one day. It doesn't matter where they're from, because at that point they're gonna say, you know what, this is an all black neighborhood, 90% of these people are aggressive, so you know what, we're gonna apply 100% force. Doesn't
Right.
matter that I'm foundation of black American. What matters is they're gonna see me as a black person and they're gonna treat me accordingly based on the crime statistics.
Hey, you're not wrong. You're not wrong. I hear
Yeah, do I want to be involved in that? No, but
you.
they're it's what is it, flat blackness. They're just gonna paint a broad stroke of blackness and put everybody underneath that whole thing.
Yeah.
That's where I'm like, nah, we need to go ahead and try and deal with the troublemakers that we got going on here,
Right. Yeah,
but
no, you're right. I hear what you're saying, and you're 100% right. I just when people, because that whole black on black crime is like they always say, like it's just like this, like that's like their go-to. It's not black on black crime, it's crime, like you said. It's not gun violence, it's violence. You see what I'm saying? Stop putting all these qualifiers on it, and just find the problem and fix it. But
Yeah.
that's just.
I agree. I agree. That's what it boils down to, but the problem will never be fixed as long as it's benefiting somebody else.
Fair
Because
point.
I dare say, out of all other cultures in this American society, the culture that gets their pain utilized for profit is mainly the one that we're both involved in. It's our black culture. Perfect example. And this is why I still say the culture that we have as black people isn't really ours, because when it was ours, we were trying to steer it in a direction that would actually become the culture. Way before hip hop became, well, what's now rap, in my opinion, because I mean, you hear hip hop, you hear rap. Nowadays, it's the same thing. It's very rare that you'll hear something that flows along the same vein as rap. Excuse me, flows along the same vein as hip hop, but they sound the same now. Back then, it was a way of expression. It was a way of moving messages. It was a way to, define what music was for us, especially since ever since Little Richard came along, and probably even before then, we were getting our music stolen and taken away from us. And the narrative was changed. It was changed to where, black people didn't make the blues. It was made by somebody else. Black people didn't make jazz or anything. It was made by somebody else. So, anytime we try and get something that is culturally ours, there's always some force or some narrative that comes along to try and change that, to make it look like we cannot create anything. So the culture we have nowadays is the culture that was put through a filter, hit with probably a bunch of chlorine, a bunch of other chemicals, and it was basically the equivalent of a Big Mac with cheese, government cheese on top of that. It's not good for you, but it's available. And it's what's pushed to somebody who's living in a food desert, if you will. If all you
Right.
got to eat is bad food, then your society is going to end up with the consequences that come from eating the bad food.
Right.
So if you look at the bad music that we got, now granted, there's people out there that don't want to consume that music, but for the most part, that music is being pushed to push a certain narrative about black images, to the point where you look up and you got Sexy Red and everybody else, Sukiyaona, whoever, being played in schools.
Yeah.
And I remember one of my managers came up and she had like a stupid button or something that did the Cardi B sound. And in my
Ugh.
mind, knowing what I know about Cardi B in an environment, a corporate environment, I'm like, that's extremely unprofessional.
Yeah.
Especially if you would know, if you would have known about the background of this woman.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, people don't look for people don't look they look at the surface. If they don't look any deeper than what they can see, they can look and see. They don't want to dig.
Yeah, you're right about that. Definitely right about that. And speaking of culture, how would you define gun culture and the roles that it plays in your life? Or what role does it play in your life?
Well, gun culture for me is like I struggled with this before. It's basically how guns or firearms, how it affects, people, me and people in my daily life. It's like you've got your hip hop culture, you got a certain way of dressing, a certain way of speaking, certain way of carrying yourself. You can kind of put gun culture in like that, but there's no other than I quote unquote like guns. There's no set there's no set dress, there's no set language, there's no set. It's just, for me, it's just how it affects me and the people around me at large. You've got your people out there that, over my dead body, and you got the people that were like, I lost my guns in a boating accident, that kind of stuff, But for me, it's just another part of who and what I am. Fun fact, I am a martial artist, a true mixed martial artist. I learn from all styles and all camps and all disciplines. And I've been doing that for 25 years. So, for me, it's just another part of my martial training. You know what I mean? But if you saw me walking down the street, you would have no idea that I'm a third degree black belt and mixed martial arts. So, in that same token, if you see me walking down the street, you have no idea that I got that thing on me. You know what I mean? It's just, people think culture like I can see that person and I know what they are. You know what I mean? For me, the best kind of gun culture, unless you're, putting your hand up and putting yourself out there to, make sure your rights don't get taken away, or you're trying to dispel some sort of misconception or stereotype, it's gray. It's out of sight. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's kind of like a gray man theory in a sense,
Exactly.
which I definitely I try and follow that as much as I can.
This the Black Powder Podcast, let's get explicit. We got the wisdom hitting targets with a mark with precision. We're having fun in the booth, we're running gun for the truth. Every future black gun owner, we're spreading the news. We do illegal, we're moving regal and blessing the people. Some hopes for the culture, we keep it locked like guns in a holster. Holding it down as we're loading the rounds. If they were nervous back then, right, then they're gonna be scared of us now. Black Powder Podcast, we'll be back in a while. Yeah.